Welcome to Legal Tender, 30 minutes of intensely satisfying entertainment and enlightenment. Legal Tender begins now.
Good morning, welcome to Legal Tender, and we've got a new guest today. The red heart beast.
Oh yeah, yes. Right. For those of you online, you can look and you'll see my animals from South Africa came, and we have a red heart beast here hanging in the office. If you want to stop in the Brewster Metropolitan Tower of Influence,
so here's the question I have for you about this heart beast.
Shoot it.
Is that a male or a female?
I think it's a male, and here's the reason. So when you hunt in South Africa, you have a professional hunter. By the way, we're talking about First Amendment. The First Amendment today, we're going to talk about some amazing cases and why America is substantially better than every other country out there when it comes to the laws abridging or granting the right of speech. But I will digress about the heartbeast.
Yes.
So when you're hunting with a professional hunter, and your PH is called, in South Africa, they will tell you where to shoot and when to shoot, and they actually hold the sticks in front of you. It's really annoying, but that's the way it's always done. It's like somebody putting a napkin in your lap at a restaurant. I was like, okay.
Are you going to feed me as well?
I know. Yeah. So this is like a 300-yard shot, and there we go. We got our red heart to beast here.
It is a we'll put a picture of it up on our Facebook page. You guys can go and look at that, but actually, I looked up something about the heart to beast. First off, the males and females look almost identical. The males are just slightly bigger.
Slightly bigger,
so
right.
I'm going to go ahead and pretend, just for argument's sake, that's a female. You shot a doe.
There you go.
The other thing is, these things are big. These are 330-pound animals.
Right.
They can do 35 miles an hour. I mean, that is amazingly fast. But I guess, you know, if you're getting ready to get your back leg taken off by a lion,
you might need to run
fast.
Well, this, I was talking to them this morning. They thought that this animal looks like Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars. Remember that really horrible character?
I have no idea
character?
What you're talking about. Okay.
Well, they also said, people there in South Africa said it looks like John Kerry. So you can recognize that.
Right.
So, but you know, when you're hunting, there's just these beautiful savanna grass plains. There are these tall trees. There's giraffe there. There's thousands of animals that are all there. And then you light it up. Light it up with the crack of thunder. From a Czechoslovakian rifle, I was using the thunder.
Yeah, and it was quite an adventure to actually get your animals back. It's been 2 years.
So those of you who are familiar with the Cease of the Lion saga, you think, aha, now we can stop the import-export of animals. Well, no, you can still kill animals anywhere you want and anywhere you want to do it, but you can't bring them back to the United States. We're the only country that does that. So people can still go anywhere they want to kill a variety of different game that are managed by people, that is.
I think that's a violation of our free speech, which we're going to talk about.
It could be.
We should sue.
And so, you know, so that's the speech issue. You know, you're talking about, I always have if you come to our office, you'll see here that we have game animals here in the office. And part of the thing is look, we're not political people. It's not our deal. But if someone is going to file a false bar complaint against me, it's the anti-hunter. So anti-hunters, you know, I'm probably not the right guy for you. So I let them know up front.
Yeah.
How do you do? I like to hunt. Thank you very much. If you have a problem with that, I'm probably not the right guy.
It reminds me of the scene from the Jim Carrey movie, Ace Ventura. And he walks into that room where the guy's a professional. Big game room. And there's all these really beautiful
British
African animals. He goes, what a lovely room of death.
Yes, that's right. I know. So welcome to the lovely room of death.
Yes.
So those, you know, we talk about, there's a video that goes around on Facebook. You've probably seen it where it says the most honest 3 minutes in television. And there are three professors on a college debate stage. It's a TV show, but if you haven't seen it, just Google it, the most honest 3 minutes. And they have a student who proposes a question: why is America the best country in one word or less? The first professor says freedom, freedom, freedom. The next one says opportunity and the end to organized discrimination. And then the third guy says it's not. America's not. America's a horrible country. What do you want? Freedom? Canada has freedom. Denmark has freedom. Sweden has freedom. And then he goes on, we're not number one in this. We're not number one in that. And he goes on and on and on and on. So we're going to
should have deported him immediately.
Right. So we're going to talk about the first prong about how there is no freedom in the world but in America. So get ready, buckle up, and they're going to give you the law, and we're going to stuff it down your throat because you need to be happy about the freedom of speech that you have in this country where you have no freedom anywhere else on the planet.
And if you don't like it, you have the freedom to pack your bags and go.
Right. Or you have the freedom to say that I'm a fool, right? Welcome to the freedom.
Welcome to it.
So I'm going to just say real quick. Here is what the First Amendment provides. Congress. Who is Congress? Who's Congress?
Congress is the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Okay, right. So it's our elected officials shall make no law. Think that in. They shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, right? Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. So Congress, not agencies, not the president, right? Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. What does the word abridge mean to you?
I have no idea.
Think about an abridged audio, something that is shortened. So to shorten it down, to truncate it, to limit or otherwise prevent it from happening. But the freedom of speech. So that's what we're going to talk about. So you've looked at some interesting stuff about the freedom of speech.
Yeah,
right?
See, that's the thing about the freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. It's not always good. It's not always comfortable.
No, to hear morons talking about hunting? Are you kidding me?
And the Supreme Court has defended a lot of people who I would like to personally just punch in the face and just get rid of them.
Flag burners, cross burners, Nazi dancers, all those kind of people.
People who are terrible. So let's talk about one of them. Guy by the name of Fred Phelps. Do you know this guy?
Recognize that name?
Fred Phelps is the founder of the Westboro Baptist Church out of Topeka, Kansas.
Scumbag extraordinaire.
Scumbag extraordinaire. So this guy started a church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how.
Not a real church.
It's not a real church. I don't even know why they have the word Baptist. I don't know. They're not affiliated with anybody.
Yeah.
Apparently the Baptist congregation have gone to great lengths to say, we're not affiliated with them, even though they use the word. But for the past, 25 years, this guy has made a career out of protesting.
Right.
They just go around and protest.
Not good protests. Meaning not morally good protests. I mean, they're lawful protests, but they're horrible, hateful, malevolent human totes.
So they decided they were going to branch out and start protesting funerals.
Right.
And this is where things got sideways. They actually started protesting the funerals of soldiers who had come back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
And a person by the name, what was his name? His last name was Snyder. Matthew Snyder. He was killed in Iraq, and they showed up at his funeral and protested. And I won't even read some of the stuff that their sign said.
Yeah.
But it was disgusting.
But it was also, what were they protesting about? Were they protesting the war?
No.
They were protesting homosexuality.
Yes.
They were protesting gay. So you got some guys showing up at a dead soldier's funeral protesting an unrelated issue.
You know, one person held a sign there that said, thank God for dead soldiers.
Yes.
At the funeral.
Thank God. So the idea is they're trying to create a protest to say, oh, look at our cause. Isn't our cause so just? Their cause being, this is God's judgment against our country because we have gays and we have war and God's visiting wrath. That's their message, what they ended up saying in court.
Yeah. So Matthew Snyder's dad, Albert, sued.
So the dad of the deceased soldier.
Dad of the deceased soldier sued the Westboro Church and said, you guys have infringed on my free speech rights because you guys didn't allow me to properly mourn my son's funeral and bury him in peace.
Uh-huh.
And so then they sued them.
Right. Seems like a very just cause, right?
I would think
just
so.
Just cause on behalf of the father?
I mean, think about this. Think about you're the parent.
Yeah, your own child dies in a car crash here. Chelan County, Okanagan County, they die. You're there, and somebody shows up to protest immigration. You're like, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You idiot.
Right.
So this went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled 8-1 in favor of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through the pleadings and I went through the results and the justice who said no that I'm actually going to dissent on this was Samuel Alito, and his argument was, look, this is a quote: Our profound national commitment to free and open debate is not a license for the vicious verbal assault that occurred in this case. Mm-hmm. And so he was saying, look, this family does have a right that is defined by the Constitution that says, yes, you have the right to peacefully bury and mourn a loved one or anybody mm-hmm. without that right being infringed on by somebody else.
So let's take a break and look at what would happen if we flipped justices. Remember, who appoints the justices, right? They are appointed by the president with the advice and consent, right, mm-hmm. of our elected officials. So they get the advice and consent. So you change the people who are there, and you get a different law in America. You have a different America. Different America, right?
Yeah. I would actually...
Crazy. Is that crazy?
The question that I think would be amazing, what if the Westboro Baptist Church only did this to Muslim funerals? Only did it outside of mosques.
Right, right.
Would that still be protected? What would the court say just about that thing?
Let's talk about what you can and can't do. So here's where courts... will make distinctions here. Let's talk about threats. So threatening speech, that's not protected speech. You cannot go and threaten people. So if I see you out on the street and I say, Cody, I'm going to bash your head in, right? That is a threat. It is a criminal threat because it involves an immediate apparent ability to convey bodily harm, okay? So speech is therefore not, speech which is a true threat and therefore is not protected, if an objective person would say, hey, there's a serious expression of an intent to cause me present or future harm.
And I also couldn't incite other people
right.
to harm you.
Right. Hey, there's that guy. Get him!
There's that jerk lawyer from Brewster.
Bring him out! Let's jump him up! Okay. So we know, like, threats, that's an abridgment on your speech. Because mm-hmm. we thought about when we first had the Constitution, like, oh, gosh, isn't this great? But then we realized, well, should we allow people just to threaten, you know, somebody threaten your wife? I'm going to fill in the blank. No. We say, we don't want you to do that. That's an illegal threat. Mm-hmm. Reputation harm. In Washington, we actually have a statute called, it's RCW 7.96, and it's an anti-defamation statute where it says, hey, this U.S. Supreme Court recognizes that you can defame somebody, say something that's not true. For example, you say about a restaurant, they have rats in their kitchen. Right? That is a false, assuming it is false.
Maybe it's true.
Maybe it's maybe not. Put up some cameras and find out.
Maybe they do, right? So if it's false, that is defamation, right? So that is something they can sue on because, like, oh my gosh, nobody comes to my restaurant anymore. I'm serving cats, not rats. So some people makes a difference, right? That's right. So that sort of reputation harm, we have a legal basis. Hate speech. Believe it or not, we actually have what is quote-unquote called hate speech, but really it's not hate speech. It's intimidation speech, and it goes back to this whole idea that I am saying something to threaten violence. So here's an example. If I burn a cross in somebody else's yard as a method of speech, the Supreme Court has said, somebody else's yard, I burn that as a message of speech. That is a protected speech. If I burn it...
No, time out.
Yes.
No, wait a minute. I'm going to get this straight.
Yes.
So I could go over to anybody's yard that I wanted to, put a cross in the ground, and then set that thing on fire, and that's legal.
Here's the issue. The court said the defendant may be found guilty if he or she, quote, intends to utter a threat or incite violence. In this case, there were people who were arguing a homeowner association, and he had African-American neighbors. He wouldn't burn a cross in his backyard as a way to protest the fact he didn't like the hedges. And so the court said, you know what, that's actually legal. Versus in another case where these KKK guys burn a cross in their own yard, as to incite, as a basically as a rally to go up and let's go up and let's beat people up, that was not protected.
I was just cold. I was cold outside. I was just starting to fire.
So those are limitations on speech, right? And so what the courts are looking at is, you know, what can we do? Have you heard of the Stolen Valor Award?
No.
Where guys, you know this as a single man. You know, you tell a lie, but what do you do? What do you do? Bull rider. What do you do? Stockbroker. In your case, that's true. Mm. What do you do? Doctor,
you ever
lawyer?
Call me a stockbroker, right. And I'll make you eat that microphone.
Stockbroker. Oh, yeah. Sorry. So the people dress up and pretend like they're military heroes.
Yeah.
And so they made it a crime. Well, as it turns out, Supreme Court said, "No, what? That is legal speech. To dress up and pretend that you're a soldier, valor, stolen valor, that law abridging that was deemed to be illegal." Crazy.
Wow,
right?
That's amazing. I've never actually never heard any of that.
There you go.
One of the ones
welcome to legal tender, buddy.
Love it. One of the things I looked up, I was surprised about. So let's say you're a foreign, you're a citizen of another country.
Yep.
You come into the United States. United States can deny you entry into this country based on something you've said in your own country. But even if, let's say you were a citizen of the United States, it would have been protected speech. They can still deny you entry, even though you said it in your own country. And it would be legal if you were a United States citizen.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
I did know that, for example, Mexico's constitution, that they don't grant, you know, if you are an unlawful immigrant to Mexico, they don't grant you any rights to trials, rights to lawyers, rights to hearings. They don't have any of those issues at all. And so it's not surprising, I guess, that, you know, something you did in another country, think about it from terrorist threats. You say, oh, well, you've said all this pro-terrorist sort of stuff in that country, you came here. You can't come here. I mean, I could see them saying that.
Mm-hmm. The other one the other case I thought was really, it was interesting. It's an old case. Have you heard about Tinker versus the Des Moines, Iowa school district?
No, I know. Tell me what it's about.
Yeah, so this was a bunch of kids. They were like 15-year-old kids. They decided in 1969 they were going to wear black armbands.
Oh, yes. I know all about this case.
Yes,
keep going.
They were going to wear
black.
I
did this when I was in high school.
Did you really? In Brewster High School?
I did. I was protesting the fact the administration said that we could not wear shirts with logos. And so I showed up with bands on both arms and both legs. I remember when the teacher
goes, were they just black?
Yeah, it was black. And one of the teachers knew exactly what it was. And he's like, what are you protesting? I said, you. As totally immature as I possibly could be. But go ahead.
These kids were a little bit more tactful than that.
Not me. I had no tact.
None.
Look at me today.
So they were like 15-year-old kids, and they said they were going to wear black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
The administrators of the school found out prior to them doing this. They got together the night before it was supposed to happen, passed a new rule in the school saying, you guys can't do this. If you come and refuse to take them off, you're suspended.
Nice.
So the kids did it. They came to school. They got suspended.
Yep.
Well, the ACLU came and said, hey, we should actually go after them for this.
Right.
So they did, and they went to district court over it. District court says, hey, school has every single right in the world.
You know why
this.
That is, by the way?
No.
Because the district court is a lower court. The lower court is a court that actually interacts with the superintendent, with the principal. They're the ones that you see at golf tournaments.
Yeah.
So like Superior Court judges, those are the people that actually, they're elected here locally, in that case, the federal case. And so those are the ones who, if you make a bad ruling, those judges are going to hear from it because they live in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But you go up to the Court of Appeals, they'll never hear from it. So they're just going to do whatever they want to do. That could be good or could be bad.
Well, what's interesting in this case is they went to the Court of Appeals and it tied. And so then the lower court's ruling stayed into effect, so they had to appeal it to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says...
Good procedural history, by the way. Nice.
You like that?
Yeah.
Good. So they went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court goes, wait a minute. Just because those kids walk through the doors of that school does not mean that their free speech rights are changed all of a sudden because they walk into a building in the United States. And they said, no, at school district, you are out of line. They can do this whenever they want to, and you can't stop it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and it was, I think it was 7-2. It was a 7-2 decision.
So in the UK, for example, remember that little 3-minute video I was talking about? The UK, you don't have freedom of speech there. You do not. This is the reason why Americans left King George, because the King George said, you cannot say naughty things about me because I'm the king. You got to say nice things.
I'm a great king, too.
So here's an example. You recall the Brussels, the murderers, those big the terrorist bombings that just took effect,
yeah,
right?
Yes, yeah.
So there was a man in the UK who tweeted on Twitter. He tweeted on Twitter.
Tweeted on Twitter.
Right.
He twittered.
And Twitter is, it's just a small 140 characters. You just say something really short. So what he said, very short.
Expand that.
His private account, he said, quote, confronted a Muslim woman yesterday. I asked her to explain Brussels. She said, nothing to do with me. A mealy-mouthed reply. So that's what he said. So he's saying that I went up, I talked to a Muslim woman, a random woman, stopped her in the street and said, hey, explain Brussels to me. And she said, that has nothing to do with me. And so this British guy's commentary on that was a mealy-mouthed reply. He was arrested by the British police. Not the terrorists, by the way. they were right on this guy because he was easy. So they arrested him for tweeting that, and they charged him with inciting racial hatred on social media. So the fact that he said, hey, I talked to a woman about the Brussels terrorist attack, and they tweeted that conversation, he got arrested. That's the difference between America and Britain.
I want someone in Great Britain to go, I confronted a Christian yesterday about the Crusades, and I said, will you explain this? And they said, nothing to do with me. Oh, what a mealy-mouth reply. And see if anything happens.
Yeah, nobody
see if anything happened. Nothing would happen.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's Christians. It's freaking Christians. So, Austria, you know?
Yeah.
Austria. Here, Austria. You don't have freedom in Austria. Remember the little three-minute video? Oh, Austria's got freedom. Denmark's got freedom. Sweden. They don't have any freedom, by the way. Mm. There was a minor, was arrested and charged for burning the Quran. 5 months in jail.
Yeah.
Burning the Quran. What? Here's another one. 23-year-old Afghan man who posted anti-Jewish remarks. He said, keep calm and the F word, Israel. That's what he said, right? He was arrested, and he was sentenced for a year's probation, potentially jail, and fined £1,000 for that. Canada. You think Canada's got freedom? Wrong. They got nothing. Canada's going so far unfreedom. Everyone's like, oh, Canada's so great. Really? Well, let's explain this. There's a comedian named Guy Earle. This just recently happened. He was charged with violating the human rights of an audience member. And he got into a trash-talking session during open mic night. Right? You know, you have one person who says, your mom is so fat or whatever it is. So they had this open mic deal. And
which are always entertaining.
Right. And he was the other person, the other mic, was a lesbian. And he was trash-talking lesbianism. So that woman sued, saying that she suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. She got a $23,000 judgment, by the way. But the British Columbia Human Rights Commission, they said that they discriminated. Free speech is not a defense. And because it hurt her feelings, they actually enforced the award.
Man, she...
What?
Hold on.
Canada.
Hold on. Time out. Time out. What'd the attorney get paid?
Hopefully they got paid a lot more than that.
I mean, come on. They should. That is a good case. They should have gotten paid a lot of cash.
Yes.
Hopefully got a new suit out of the deal. So, Amon Jordan, a guy named Iyad Quinabi, 39.
Okay.
He did a Facebook post of claiming what he perceived as un-Islamic developments within the country of Jordan. He got hucked in jail for 2 years for the Facebook post.
So he was saying there's developments that are secular developments, and he's upset about that?
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, this is Jordan, right?
This is Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, but here's because Jordan, you have a totalitarian organization, and you have the king who, you know, by the way, I like the idea of the fact that he gets in a fighter plane to go bomb terrorists. I like that idea. But the fact of the matter is, they're like, hey, you're hurting my business. I'm going to throw you in jail for 2 years. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen legally in America. I'm saying it does happen in America, but it doesn't happen legally. So we're all talking all happy. We're going to talk about America in just a second. But there's a totally different deal. Look in Germany, for example. Germany. They don't have freedom in Germany. 29-year-old Berlin woman. She posted on Facebook about all of the Syrian refugees. She said, quote, filth out. And she said that if tougher measures are not acted against refugees, then more asylum seekers' homes will burn. So she said that. Hmm. Arrested. 5 months in prison.
Okay? Jeez, oh, Pete.
Right. So think about this. Donald Trump.
Although, I'm not going
to
lie to you.
Okay, we'll go to
Trump. There's a lot of people that I've read their Facebook and Twitter posts. I'd like to have them thrown in jail because it's stupid.
Oh, I agree. You read my mom's stuff?
I mean, holy cow.
Oh, man.
I'll be she'd be like, Walla Walla.
Mom, wow. No. So, I mean, Ireland. Did you know that in Ireland in 2009, they passed a law making it illegal to utter a blasphemous matter? Blasphemy in 2009, Ireland. I mean, isn't this the land of leprechauns? No, it's not. That's where blasphemy
is from.
Right. So, I mean, you look and you're like, what in the world? What? So people who want to come down on America, we have our problems, which we're going to get to. But yes, these other countries, they pale in comparison. And here's the principal difference why. Because in America, unlike every other country in the history of humanity, unlike every other country in any geographic area, the rights in America don't come from people. They don't come from the government. The rights in America come from our Creator. That is the fundamental difference. Like it or hate it, whatever, that is the law in America. That's always been the law. That's what every Supreme Court has said. Recently, they're trying to change that. They're trying to give a different expression. But they'll say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all humankind
are created equal.
Look at me, I'm censoring myself. I can't even handle it. The foundational documents, I got to change them, you know. They're so offensive. Right, that all men are created equal,
so
right? And endowed with certain unalienable rights from their creator. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that the government is there not to give you rights, they're there to protect the rights you have. And that's it. These other countries, they give you what rights you have. Here's some rights, you know, you want some more, then give me some money. That's the difference.
Yeah, the big difference is in these other countries, you open your mouth, they're going to throw you in jail.
Right.
In the United States, you can open your mouth, they're not going to throw you in jail, but if you want to smoke weed outside of states where you can, you're getting hucked in jail.
Right. But here's the thing. Our country is changing. Our laws are changing. For example, Facebook. I've had my post censored on Facebook. I posted a post about how Facebook was a fascist system because they are restricting people's free speech rights. Free speech, which, by the way, I completely disagree with.
I hate it.
And Facebook actually blocked my post. Which I thought was fantastic. My post on free speech abridgment was actually blocked by Facebook.
I remember we tried to look at you like, no, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I made it.
So Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, said hate speech has no place on Facebook. Okay, so who decides what is hateful? Mm-hmm. Who gets to make that determination?
Yeah, have you heard about the big controversy at Facebook? You know how they have, ever seen the pictures of Facebook's corporate headquarters, and they have that gigantic wall that employees are allowed to write on. It's just, I mean, like, okay, you are, yeah, they just write, send, I mean, they can do whatever they want, mm-hmm, on it. Well, people started writing Black Lives Matter on the wall.
Okay.
Other employees would come and circle it and cross it out.
Okay.
And so Mark Zuckerberg actually sent a corporate letter out to all the employees of Facebook saying, stop crossing other people's stuff out.
Okay, so if we apply the constitutional analysis of that case, we look at the First Amendment. Okay, is the government involved? No. It's a private actor, so therefore we say, can we do that? Lawfully, they can. The end. Mm-hmm. But let's pretend it wasn't a government institution. So if it came to me, I would support the CEO of Facebook to make that decision. It's private property. They can do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. They say, no red hats, no red hats, right? So, but if it was a federal government building, they could, and there was an agency head, that would be considered a law restricting abridgment of speech. Now, here's how they get around that. They actually would charge other people with defacing public property. That's what I would do. If I was the evil warlord of that agency.
The warlord.
I would. I'd say, here's what we're going to do. You know, here we had a memorial, and you're defacing our memorial. Mm-hmm. Right? Or you do the first people, and so that's the slippery slope, which is supposed to be unlawful. But it is that. But as Facebook becomes more commonplace, and that becomes an area, a public square, so to speak, mm-hmm, right? Then there's questions. Well, should the public square really consider? I mean, what happened during the fires? Where did you get your information?
Facebook
and Cozy Radio. Yeah. Jay with me. My goodness, you know. Yeah. I was like, Jay, is my house on fire yet? No. Okay, great.
But you can see how some of these countries, especially the ones where they're basically kings and totalitarian governments, how they go, man, we need to really clamp down on these social media things.
Yes.
Because you remember the Arab Spring?
Yes.
In the Middle East?
Yeah.
How did they organize? How do they know
Twitter
where?
And Facebook.
Twitter and Facebook. Yes. That's how they did the whole thing, which is an amazing development, because in the past, it would have had to have been this underground communication network that would have taken forever.
Yes.
And they could organize, they organized protests within minutes just because of Facebook and Twitter.
So if you were to apply to the current presidential candidates. You know, Donald Trump has had some pretty jaw-dropping things that he said, right?
Especially recently.
Especially like last week.
Yeah.
but if we look at what he has said and apply the laws from other country, in Britain, there is no doubt, 100% certainty, he would have been charged with inciting mass violence against a group of minorities. But what they will say, they being the UK government would say, is say, well, hold on a second. You are inciting a group of people to dislike a group of people. That's a crime, the end. It's not protected speech. That is the fundamental difference between, you like it or hate it. I mean, our country, like it or hate it, we are here because people believe that the right of people to have bad ideas, that they should be heard. People have good ideas, that they should be heard. But that world is changing. Mm-hmm. That world is changing.
That is a funny idea, though, when you think about the things that he said in other countries he would be arrested for.
It is,
in this
right.
country, he has based his entire presidential campaign on that idea.
That idea. Right, right.
And talks about it all the time.
Yeah, it talks about it all the time. So you look at also, but the attorney general right now, Loretta Lynch, she's the head attorney for Obama. And in response to the San Bernardino attacks, those terrorist attacks, what she said, is that she is going to aggressively pursue anyone who incites violence against Muslims. She's going to specifically, she said, quote, obviously this is a country that is based on free speech, but when that edges towards violence, we will take action. And she gave, she said, we've prosecuted 156 people who have through their speech, we have arrested. So we are looking at place now. Change it from, you know, oh, let's go against the terrorists to say it's against, you know, whatever it is. It's against, you know, those Amish woodworkers. Get them, burn their stuff. Right.
I love it.
Right. So, yeah. So change the speech, you know, protection. All of a sudden, you're like, well, hold on a second. I'm a member of a protected group now. I mean, it's not like I go out and I don't go and post all this political stuff. This, although, you know, the First Amendment, like it or not, it's a legal issue. This is not a political show. This is a legal and financial show. This is a legal question. But you're like, oh my gosh, what is happening to our country? Where you have people who say bad things, I agree, who are now going to be prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Where are we headed? That's the question. And it's we're headed to where these other countries are, and it's scary. And I don't want to go there.
Where we're headed, probably likely the balance of that is going to be tilted depending on who is put in that vacant Supreme Court justice spot.
Right.
Because just as we found out with the union decision for the public schools in California, mm-hmm. it was split 4-4.
Yeah.
So nothing happens.
Well, it's the idea, you know, well, what can other people do? Well, just, be, you know what? Be tolerant of stupid people. Be tolerant of dumb ideas. There are ideas that are just bad ideas. There are dumb ideas. But part of being an American is being tolerant of other ideas that are completely inferior in every single way. But we don't prosecute those people who have the inferior ideas. We just say, I'll make a t-shirt with that guy, right?
Right. I wonder how much money that idea is going to cost them.
So, I mean, so that for me, the takeaway is like, hey, if you want a safe space, you want to be treated a certain way, be careful what you wish for. Because we're going to end up like the other countries where you get thrown in prison because you say something that hurts someone else's little feelers.
Yeah. We're not a country who, yeah, people are allowed to be offended by stuff, but that doesn't mean that speech should be limited.
Right.
And I think we've moved away from the idea where we can have discourse about something to all of a sudden you're like, that's racist.
Yes.
I'm offended. So all of a sudden that should be illegal.
Yeah.
That's not what our country's about.
I know.
Right? I know. Our country fights for those ideals because you can offend somebody else. That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to so many soldiers who said, look, I protect the right of people to say things I hate. And that encapsulates what is the difference between America and other countries is that, you know, like it or not, that we believe the idea, which is the constitutional, the foundational bedrock, that people's speech should not be abridged. That is the bedrock principle of America. This is Legal Tender.
See ya. The kind of work it takes to create wealth and the work it takes to keep it are very different. I'm Cody Gunn, CFA and owner of Gunn Capital Management. My firm is dedicated to helping you create a legacy for your family and the people you care about. Give us a call in Brewster at 509-699-3144 or visit us at GunnCapital.com. We'll walk you through the critical steps in maintaining and growing multi-generational wealth.
Opportunity, prosperity, legacy. We are Gunn Capital Management.